comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen,
from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system.
Well, that's not supposed to happen. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. And wherever you are, whoever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful planet, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you have a right to know, and frankly, you matter. On this past Friday night on the show, my guest was Jerry Wills, and we discussed some UFO activity recently above the houses in Jerry's neighborhood there in the Phoenix, Arizona area, or actually there in Phoenix, Arizona. This recent activity actually took place last week. Now, we talked about it last week on Friday night, but this activity actually took place last week as well. It took place, I believe it was on Wednesday. And I mentioned that at that time that Phoenix is, or at least certainly seems to be, a real genuine hot spot for UFO activity. Well, then on Friday, I received information about other UFO activity before Jerry and I went on the air. And this UFO activity, well, I say UFO, strange aerial phenomenon. This activity apparently was a missile. Not a little home-built hobby rocket, but a real missile, apparently, that was launched from Phoenix, Arizona last week. Now, you heard me right. Don't say I must have heard that guy wrong. He didn't really say a missile was launched from Phoenix, Arizona. Yes, he did. Something was launched, and it appears to be a missile. And it was launched from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, as remarkable as it is to be talking about a missile being launched from the sixth largest city in the United States, there are a couple of other facts in this incident that make it even more mysterious. For instance, why have you heard nothing about this in lamestream media? When a missile was launched off of the coast of California a few months ago, it was big news. People were talking about it. The debunkers were out in force and trying to prove it was not a missile. And yet people who are experts with missiles said it was a missile. But in this instance, when this launch occurred from the sixth largest city in the United States of America, it's sort of like the media just doesn't want to be bothered with it. Why? Well, perhaps the answer to why is in the video itself, and those who are watching the show tonight are going to get to see that video. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I started off the show this evening talking to you about Phoenix, Arizona. I started off telling you about what appears to be a missile launch from Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona is not, for those who have never been there, it's not a little out-of-the-way village. It is the sixth largest city in the United States of America. It is a sprawling place, and yes, it is in the desert. It just sort of sticks up out of the desert. But it is a very, well, I guess you could say it's a very cosmopolitan city with a little bit of a Western flavor to it. But a very modern city. And it is home to well over 1 million people. I think it's about 1,400,000, something like that. And it's just not the sort of place that you see missiles being launched on a frequent basis, but apparently one was launched. Now, my guests this evening, Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite, were traveling. And they, as they were traveling down the highway, they saw this missile in flight. And they traced the smoke trail back down to the ground, and they videotaped it. I want to welcome Mitch Waite and Alex Hearn to the show. Alex, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
And Mitch, welcome to the show.
Oh, yes, thank you very much for having us on.
What day of the week did this happen?
This was Thursday.
Was Thursday, okay. And then I guess on Friday is when I opened my email to find that the video, the link to the video, had been sent me by Alex, and that's when I found out about it. All right, so guys, let's go back to, you said it was Thursday, so let's go back to Thursday and describe for us where you were and what you were doing.
Okay, I was driving. Alex, you want to go ahead and tell yours first?
Sure. And you know, Kevin, the reason I called you is because it's all, or sent it to you, it all kind of works into the UFO area, too. Right before that, on the trip we were returning from, we took a report from a camper about a UFO incident. And while we were driving, about 15 minutes before this launch, we saw what we thought was a disc go from mountain to mountain. Just 2 or 3 seconds. We turned to each other and right away said, "Did you see that?" Kind of giggled to each other. There was no way we were going to see it again. We're winding through the mountains. But in our the video I sent you, I think, was Mitch's. I was a little bit sun poisoned and went to sleep early after we got home after some initial calls. Mitch got out his video. I didn't get out my video until after I emailed you, I believe. And mine has a little bit more detail, and something crosses the path at the 21-second point.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit, and I'll show it on the screen. But tell us about the trip. Where were you coming from, and where were you going?
We were coming from, at that point, we were coming from up near Young, where we do the Bigfoot research, an area we call the Hot Zone, which I have spoke to you about before. So your listeners should be somewhat familiar with that. We were, at the exact moment we saw it, we were a little bit out of, about 15, 20 minutes out of Superior. We were just around the bend from the Florence Junction. We had just going over the actual Queen Creek on US 60. I said to Mitch, is that a dust devil over there, or do we have some activity in the desert? And on the way out of the trip, a day or two earlier, we did see activity in the desert, so that's why I said that. And he said, no, it's a dust devil, looks like a dust devil. And I commented, yeah, that one sure looks more like a tornado, because it was going up towards the sky. Glanced away for a second, and we saw the white plume, and that's when Mitch said, that's a launch. And I knew immediately what he meant. Someone commented to us, you know, we should say missile launch. There's no question when Mitch said launch, he's a Air Force, career Air Force, and I knew what he meant right away. We pulled over as soon as we could, and we actually pulled over at the entrance to North Carey Road, which is the entrance to the old Hansen Company. So that's exactly where we were when we saw it. You can go to that location on Google Earth, and you can have the exact same view that's in my video, and I think that substantiates our location. And you can also, with the two landmarks, you can line up exactly where the missile was coming from and pretty close to the direction it was going.
All right. Now, on the screen, people are who are watching are seeing a map of the Phoenix, greater Phoenix area, and the outlying areas. And we can see Casa Grande, and we can see Florence. For those who are watching, if you don't see Florence, it's up and to the right from Casa Grande. You see Coolidge, and then you see Florence. Okay, so you're just coming around the bend at Florence. You're basically looking toward Arizona City.
Actually, it's Florence Junction, which is north of Florence.
Okay. So are you looking toward Casa Grande, or are you looking towards Arizona City?
Correct. We're looking towards basically, you know, greater Phoenix and beyond. The exact point we're looking towards is Queen Creek.
Okay.
Florence itself, of course, because we just turned the junction, is behind us and to the left. The road at that point is traveling in a north-northeast direction almost exactly. It's about 90 degrees off of east to west, you know, 180 degree latitude.
Okay, now were you headed north or south?
Well, basically it was heading due east, maybe slightly northeast. And I think, obviously, the reason for that is that my first gripe in this whole thing is that they were shooting over the dams. But because the road is at that northeast direction, northwest direction at the time, or southeast, the missile was not in the direction Mitch and I first assumed, and I kind of went ballistic. It wasn't over the Roosevelt Dam, and it wasn't over further south, the Coolidge Dam. It was directly between them, which would bring it just north of White Sands, New Mexico. So if it was a test and something to be shot down by White Sands, that would make sense. Although I think Mitch and I both, or at least I knew at one time, agreed this thing was going it was going out of the atmosphere. It was a ICBM of some kind. And
okay,
my
now are,
is they would not test overpopulated areas.
Are you saying that this missile, that what you've determined now is that this was not launched in the Phoenix area?
No, I'm saying it was launched from right at the very edge of civilization, exactly where the end of developed land ends and the undeveloped begins, just east of what is Queen Creek. It was launched on the Gold Canyon side of the canal, in what technically is state land, probably leased to the government. There is a base admitted in Florence. They're in charge of the state land, so they...
Okay, so that would be at the edge of the Tonto National Forest.
I'm not sure if that's the Tonto Forest at that point, but that would be the closest national forest. So if it was still Tonto, yes, it would be. The Saguaro Lakes and all of those are part of the Tonto. This is, you know, if you travel in the Route 60, they kind of basically jog south at that point because of the Superstition Mountains. They go around the Superstition, around Queen Creek, over Queen Creek, and around the bend of the Superstition at Florence Junction. and Florence is further south, but they call it Florence Junction, but at that point Route 79 bears off to Florence if you go in that way. And then Route 60 travels through the mountains, past the Salt River Canyon, through Globe, and you can get on to the San Carlos Apache Reservation or the White Mountain Apache Reservation, and that's the Coolidge Dam. So it wasn't fired directly at either dam, but any malfunction or any missile being shot down or turned on or off inappropriately could have led to some disaster. And you know, you were saying how big a city Phoenix is. It's the largest city that's also a state capital. And Greater Phoenix has 4.1 million people. And if that Roosevelt Dam got hit, I would think good many of them would lose their lives. Mitch and I would live because of the location we were at. But any family we had would probably be dead within about 90 minutes.
Okay, let me bring Mitch in now. And Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mitch, Alex has mentioned that you're former Air Force. Tell us a little bit about what you did with the Air Force.
I was the space officer for U.S. Space Command and NORAD. Basically, I was one of five officers that worked inside of Cheyenne Mountain that... my business was space. Nothing left our atmosphere or came into our atmosphere without me knowing about it.
Okay. So would you say then that you're fairly qualified to look at something like this and say whether or not it is a launch?
Oh, yes. I have seen many a launch.
Okay. I understand that before this thing got so high and so far away, you were able to make out its shape, its form. Can you describe that shape and form to us?
Well, it was kind of like looking at the belly of a Boeing 727. It had swept wings, although I couldn't see any wings on the tail end of it. So it could have possibly been a very large cruise missile.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you guys did not actually see it when it left the ground. You saw it seconds after it left the ground by noticing the trail of smoke behind it.
Right.
And when you saw it, was your first impression that it was a missile, or was your first impression that it was somebody's hobby rocket? What was your first impression?
My first impression, since I did a lot of launches, was that we were actually going to war, nuclear war. However, only one rocket launched, and if we were going to do a nuclear war, there would be more than one popping off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was requited after that. It was feeling a lot better that only one went up in the air.
Did you have the impression that this was an accident?
No. You know, they have self-destruct on these things, and if it was an accident, they would have let it get out over a non-populated area, and then they would have destroyed it.
Did this missile, did it travel up, or did it did it continue to go up towards space, or did it turn and start traveling parallel to the ground?
It was, when it first came off the ground, it was vertical, and of course it was accelerating the whole time. It was accelerating way too fast to be a manned vehicle, so it was definitely an unmanned vehicle. It started arcing when it got up. It's hard to say what the altitude was, but it was in the sun when we were looking at it when it started arcing. But it was still climbing, but it had turned and was headed the direction that it was going to go.
So which direction was it flying? By the compass, what degree would you say it was flying?
From our vantage point there on the US 60, it was on a heading of 280
degrees. 280
degrees.
So it was headed to the northwest.
No, it was about at 80 degrees. It was heading just north of due east. Just above due east, just shy of 90 degrees, Kevin. But what it was is we weren't...
Well, I said northeast, but I meant northwest. 280 would be northwest.
Excuse me. The 280 was the actual launch point. It was going, Alex said, in the 80-degree direction. Sorry about that.
Okay. No worries. It's not often I get to correct anybody near... your level of expertise on this, Mitch. So,
okay, now, Mitch, that would put it on a heading toward what?
Well, if you extend the vector out, it would be right over the top of White Sands Missile Range. And if you kept going, it would be over Mexico and then the Gulf and so forth.
It really did get exactly over White Sands. At least not where White Sands is labeled on the map. If White Sands goes north of where it's labeled, probably does. But the Coolidge Dam would have been in the way of directly due north, due east. And so it was taking off in a safe direction. But I don't think this was something that was getting shot down over White Sands. What it looked to me like is... an Apollo launch. It was, and you know, Mitch used the term cruise missile. What I first said was it was some kind of intercontinental cruise missile. And what first immediately I knew it was a U.S. launch because of everything Mitch has taught me in his background.
Okay, now what made you think it was intercontinental?
In that it looked like an Apollo launch. In that it was going up, hundreds of, I think it was leaving the atmosphere. Our impression was, at least at first, Mitch said it too, that it was leaving the atmosphere. It didn't seem to stop.
All right, we have to step away for break, guys. We'll be back, folks, right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. We've been talking about this missile launch that took place somewhere in the area north, my understanding is north of Queen Creek. Queen Creek, of course, is, let me get the map up here and people can see it. Queen Creek is slightly south and east of Phoenix, Arizona, but somewhere north of Queen Creek, possibly north of Gold Canyon, near the Tonto National Forest. Now, did I understand you to say, Alex, that there is some kind of a base in Tonto National Forest?
Well, south of where you just described, south of the actual Queen Creek, the creek bed, not the town of Queen Creek, but the town of Queen Creek is where the creek kind of gets into civilization. It comes out of Queen Valley up in the Superstitions, and it's clearly visible on Google Earth. South of that is basically Florence, and that the if you look on Google Earth, you can literally see, you know, the greater Phoenix area, 4.1 million people, and you can see the Superstition and Gold Canyon and Queen Valley, as I described, and the desert land in between.
Okay, but we don't have that up on the screen. What we have is a map that doesn't show that. So from Gold Canyon, where was this launch? North, south, east, west?
It was in the state land, southeast of what people consider Gold Canyon, southwest, but the state land is technically part of Gold Canyon, you know, their incorporated area. So
okay.
Gold Canyon goes all the way to the canal, close to the development of the developed land of what is Queen Creek. So the undeveloped land all the way to the actual village of Gold Canyon, because it's very small, is Gold Canyon. And it was in that state land. It was fired off from a mobile launch point, Mitch and I think. To tell you the truth, the point I have it coming from is slightly off from that mobile launch point, but it has to be from that point.
Okay, now, you said a mobile launch point.
Yeah, I at first we thought they were silos, and we found, I believe, six of them, Mitch, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Kyle showed us some of it, and we all found it together, sitting at Mitch's house. And now only two are visible, and I believe they're being airbrushed out for obvious reasons. And if you don't look quick, maybe these two that we're showing you right now won't be visible. But they're visible today. We were just talking about them. And I can tell you the roads and everything where you can go. I circled this whole area over the weekend. I've continued to do research all weekend in preparation for your show.
Okay, so you found six launch silos. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry, Kevin, I spoke over you. Forgive me.
You found six launch silos?
We found what we originally thought was six silos. I think what they are six mobile launch points. There may be an underground base here, too, but what we are viewing on Google Earth and Google Maps is mobile launch points. They kind of look like cul-de-sacs. That's best to you. Google Earth, it'll give you elevations too, and it really helps figure out what they are. But they basically look like undeveloped properties, which you will find in this area too, but they're much larger. They look like a cul-de-sac. The road will end or sometimes continue through, but the road will knuckle or something at that point. There'll be a turnaround. There'll be an elevation increase that you can see and go to with your pointer, and basically it looked like an amphitheater or half of an amphitheater to cushion the sounds, the mobile launch point. So they'll pull in a giant mobile unit. It will, you know, turn to the direction it needs to fire, and, you know, after that the missile will adjust itself. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
All right, Mitch, let me ask you.
Sure.
With your background, can you think of any reason for having a launch from this area?
That's what really surprised us, because, you know, White Sands Missile Range, Vandenberg, and Cape Canaveral are our most logical places that we launch from. Phoenix is just unheard of. We're at the wrong point on Earth to really be able to intercept anything on the other side of the world unless we go through a couple of orbits. And this all gets into orbital mechanics. If you've ever watched a launch or anything, you look at the Earth and it shows it going like in a sine wave above and below the Earth. Well, if you make that sine wave from Phoenix, we just don't go over anything that we'd want to hit.
But Mitch, now remember one thing. That's with past technology. Now, what we may have seen is a cruise-type missile with new technology. And I don't know why it would be launched from here, but they would not be launching from that location for a test. I just can't believe that they would take a chance on the ridicule. And Kevin, just so you know, exactly like you said, I'm surprised this hasn't been picked up, because I myself personally notified every newsroom in the Phoenix area. Only one got back to us. I notified every newsroom in the Boston area, because I come from there, just in because. And I notified every national news agency that I could contact, and sometimes multiple times different people. And the only one that did a story on it and got back to us was APHO. Now, they confirmed the launch with the military Air National Guard out of Florence that controls the whole area. So we're not wrong. We're 100% right. So this has been confirmed as a launch. They would not confirm what kind of launch it was, but they did confirm a launch. Nothing else was said. Nothing else was probed. At that time, we thought it may have gone over the dam. Nobody questioned why. Either way, it's launched from about 2 to 3 miles from civilization at the northeast corner of Queen Creek there, in what is Gold Canyon, above, north of the Queen Creek proper itself, the actual wash. And I've gotten emails from residents of Florence. They thought my video was Friday. They had similar stuff happening Friday. So
there were some more launches.
There was more launches. There was more launches. So you put two and two together, what's going on. They confirmed the missile launch, so it's definitely a missile launch. Well, what else did they confirm that day? They confirmed that they tried to do some strategic strikes against El Zawahi. So I think our first assumption that this was an ICBM going northeast to come down southwest was correct, except we were wrong in the direction. But with maybe this new type missile, they can make corrections they couldn't make before. They can bring them off between mountains. They can shoot them off from near cities. You know, the 14th biggest metropolis in the whole country. You know, literally on the edge of it, kind of almost in your face.
Mitch, when you were at NORAD, I mean, you're a rare commodity, because you know, not everybody goes to work at Cheyenne Mountain. So you're working in Cheyenne Mountain. You're a what you're concerned with is things in space, either leaving atmosphere or entering the atmosphere. Or you used to be. All right, now, if you were now working at NORAD, would you expect that you would know in advance about these launches?
Very definitely. All launches like this would have to be announced so that we can soothe the ruffled nerves of people like the Russians or the Chinese. Yes, U.S. Space Command and NORAD know of all launches, and if they don't know of them, they'll see them anyway. So if one popped off and it wasn't scheduled, there's going to be helicopters there in a very short order.
Was there any of that?
No.
Were there any helicopters that showed up?
Not that we saw. And that's why, you know, Mitch, that's the first thing Mitch taught me, is that nothing goes up or comes down. And Kevin, I believe both times that I've been on your show, we spoke for a long time afterward, both times I told you about Mitch and his background. So this is not something we just made up for this. You know, this is something I'm proud of my friendship with him. He's a great guy, and I'm very proud of his knowledge and just knowing him. But one of the things that he taught me right away is nothing goes up or comes down that they don't know about. So right away, I knew this is a sanctioned, you know, launch, and it was later confirmed, but we didn't need that info. We both knew it was.
Well, Sky Harbor Airport is there. It is an international airport. It is a busy airport, certainly nothing like O'Hare or even DFW. But it's busy. There's a lot of air traffic. What was the air traffic like? I mean, if you're going to launch a missile, I would think you would want to clear the airspace.
I'm not sure if KPHO5 or any of the other stations called, but I guarantee if that information is allowed to be put out there, that Phoenix would have been shut down, Mesa, Chandler would have been shut down. They had to be. It appeared that way to me and Mitch. Mitch can answer for himself. But there was zero traffic. If it's a confirmed launch, which it was, then we know air traffic would be shut down over the area, which leads to 21 seconds into my video. But we won't go there yet if you'd like to hold off. But Mitch, anytime there's a launch, official launch, would air traffic be closed?
You betcha. And I think we saw that until probably it was, 10 minutes after the launch, we started seeing jet contrails again from the aircraft. So,
All right. Mitch, let me ask you. I don't know whether you can talk about this or not. But I'll ask the question. If you can, you can talk about it. And if you something you can't talk about, then okay, we understand that. Anything leaving our atmosphere and anything entering our atmosphere is something the Space Command at NORAD, Cheyenne Mountain, is concerned with. Is it ever the case that you track something coming into our atmosphere that's unidentified?
Well, they have what they call uncorrelated targets quite often. Uncorrelated targets, we call them UCTs. You know, that could be a B-3 that...
All right, tell you what, we're going to pick up right there when we come back. We just got caught by the break. We'll pick up with UCTs on the other side of this break. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. Mitch, you were telling us when we went to break, you were telling us about uncorrelated targets, UCTs. So go ahead and explain that to us.
Okay, an uncorrelated target is an object that's in space or in orbit, or it may be coming down as reentry, but we don't have any orbital parameters on it, and we don't have any idea of what it's there for. So it's something, it's a high priority thing that we have to go and pass the radars to get information on so that we'll know what it's doing and where it's coming from.
So where we say unidentified flying object, NORAD says uncorrelated targets. And of course, a UFO, folks, you know this, but we have new listeners who are just fresh into the sunshine out of the mire and darkness of lamestream media. They're just coming fresh into the sunshine and don't know. UFO, unidentified flying object, does not mean it's an alien spacecraft. It means it's up there. We don't know what it is. It's real. It's an object. It's not imaginary. but it's flying and we don't know what it is. That's a UFO. And so, where in layman's terms we say UFO, you're telling us NORAD uses the term UCT, or the Space Command uses the term UCT.
Correct.
Okay. The reason I'm asking about this is because certainly the craft that are the objects that most people think of when we say UFO would be UCTs, would they not? If you, we'll say a disc or a cylinder shape, apparently not from Earth, we don't know. But that certainly would, if it was coming into our atmosphere, would qualify as a UCT, right?
That's correct.
Do you know of any of those instances happening?
Now we're getting into an area that would be very difficult for me to talk about.
Okay, fair enough.
But there have been numerous occasions that UTCTs were very, very difficult to identify.
Okay. Now, the reason that I brought this up is because of what happens in this video. Someone has provided an enhanced version of the video. There's the original version that you guys shot, and then someone has enhanced it so that we can see some things that we would not see because of lighting in the original video. They're there, but we don't see them. So, specifically, what we're looking at, we're looking at this missile that is headed out at a high rate of speed and suddenly appearing near the contrail or the smoke trail of this missile, there is some kind of object that appears to sort of pulsate with light. And, you know, it just, people that are watching or are seeing that video now, this is the enhanced version. And if you watch very carefully, you'll see that this object just sort of appears above and to the right of the smoke trail and then just sort of moves to the left, kind of pulsating as it goes. Did you guys see that with the naked eye?
We did. We didn't notice it in Mitch's video at first. My like I said, he had his video processed that night. Excuse me for the forgive me. But he had his video processed Thursday night. I made a few calls, a few emails, spoke to Mitch a little bit, and fell asleep. Sorry. I woke up the next day and processed my video. We took these videos with the same exact camera, HD camera, 1080p. Intel Zoom, you know, not a real expensive camera, but it is HD. His settings have been adjusted. I don't believe mine have. So his wasn't quite as clear as mine. His video is longer, though. I took some stills and another short video of the whole incident. My video is a little bit clearer. When we saw it together right away, we pulled it out there at 21 seconds, or as soon as anybody saw my video, it was clearly visible at 21 seconds, 19 seconds.
Okay, but you saw this with the naked eye as well.
No, we did not see that at all with the naked eye. We saw it in my video, and then we looked in Mitch's video, and it's there also. But in the enhanced video, you can see it better.
All right, Mitch, you've seen this in the videos that you guys shot. Does it qualify as an uncorrelated target, would you say?
Yes, it would.
Do you think it's possible that this missile was fired toward this uncorrelated target and just missed it?
We
we don't really know if it was fired towards the target or if the target was actually fired towards the missile. We don't really know. And, you know, on my own personal opinion, I have heard of UFOs checking out missile launches and missile silos and so forth. So, you know, this is not out of the norm as far as I know.
How high would you say this, when we're looking at this UFO that comes past the missile contrail, how high up, what altitude would you say that would be?
Well, that was after it stopped doing the contrail, so it was above the stratosphere.
Well, yeah, I understand the missile is, but I'm talking about the UFO. What altitude would you say what would you estimate the altitude to be for this UCT?
Without knowing the size, it would be too hard to tell.
It certainly was high enough that you could not see it with the naked eye.
That's correct. But, you know, there's optical illusions. I mean, it could have been way beyond the missile, or could have been closer in towards us. It's really hard to tell at that kind of a distance without knowing the size. If you know the size of the object, then you can determine the distance.
Well, I'll tell you what, it appears to just fade in right next to the contrail. Is there a possibility that this is something falling off of the missile?
There could have been booster rockets on it to help the acceleration. It is possible that these could be things that are falling off of it. It's a good possibility.
And does it look to you like stuff that falls off of missiles?
No.
Okay.
I have looked at it. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, sorry, Mitch, go ahead, but I want to say my opinion of that when you're done.
Okay. I have looked at my own enhancements of that particular footage, and what I'm seeing is a disc and not necessarily a rocket body.
All right, Alex, you had something you wanted to say about this.
Well, my first impression was that it seems to fall away.
All right, we just got caught by a break, so Alex, we'll come to you and your impression of this when we get back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so hang in there. Don't go away. More to come. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, my sincere sympathy to you for whatever kept you from the first hour, and I mean that quite sincerely, because you have missed a world of information, maybe a galaxy of information. And we're talking this evening with Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. We're talking about a missile launch from the Phoenix, Arizona area, just outside of Phoenix, just sort of to the southeast of Phoenix. And this took place on Thursday last week. They videotaped it. You may have seen this on YouTube. And they are talking with us about what they saw. Interestingly, Mitch Waite formerly was with the U.S. Space Command, worked at NORAD in Cheyenne Mountain, and his responsibility was anything that was either entering or leaving our atmosphere, coming from space to Earth or from Earth to space. And as we went away for break, Alex, you were telling us your impression of what you saw when you first saw the I'll use the term UFO, the something up there in the sky, on this video that you shot. So just pick up with where you were, and the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. I did a lot of research on it, too, and there is tons of video out there, specifically on a Larry King episode of similar incidents happening, where UFOs have flown literally circles around U.S. missiles. My first impression of this, and now we did see this disc object before, and Mitch told me about the video of this looking like the disc object we saw. So that's why I say my first impression, because I believe as soon as I see Mitch's videos, I'm going to have his enhancements. I'm going to have the same opinion that he has. So, but my first impression was that it hit something, an intercept, or that it was a stage falling off, some kind of illusion. That would kind of be how it would appear there all of a sudden. And then it seems to jettison off of, you know, if you're looking at my video from just a regular aspect of the screen, to the left and down. That would be, since the missile is going, you know, east-northeast, or even east-east-northeast, that would be just north of its path. Well, I try to, you know, and I've told you this in the past, I try to back up all my research with logical, real logical data, real science, with hands-on, foot-on-the-ground research and the news, what's going on, kind of reading between the lines and exactly what the military releases are saying. And what's going on directly north of this missile's path is a fire in White River, Arizona, where I have many friends. I've tried to contact them, and mysteriously I can't get through to any of them.
Okay, so let me tell you why I don't think it's something. I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's something falling off the missile. First, it appears, when it first appears, it appears a fair distance away from the contrail to the upper right of the contrail. It does move to the left and down, but it reaches a point where it hovers. It just stays there, and then finally it moves slowly away. That's not the action that you would expect of a falling body, is it, Mitch?
No, it's not. But I'll agree with your description there of its movement and so forth.
Okay. You said that there was some action, and of course we've heard about it, but I want you to tell us again, there was some action against a terrorist on that same day, or within the 24-hour period. So tell us again who it was and what that was about.
Well, I'm not perfect with those pronunciations either. One of the first things I did with this was send it to everybody I know, especially people I thought would be interested in it, like yourself, like some people I know on the West Coast that have worked for government contractors and live near Vandenberg, and some people I know in Florida that live near Cape Canaveral. Immediately, you responded to me, and so didn't they. And right away, they all, both of them said that's exactly what they've seen in the past. One of them made mention that he's seen 60-plus launches. The other person has seen, I think, many more. Both said that's a missile launch. That's exactly what we see here. And you're not talking little ones that go off from either one of those locations. Of course, Mitch, I totally trust everything he says. He said it was a launch. It looked like something that you'd see on the Apollo launch from standing below it. You
know, okay, but Alex, what I ask about is the action against the terrorist that you correlated this to as a possibility.
Well, the person in Florida immediately said it's probably something to do with Osama bin Laden's data from his computer. And I brushed that off but later in my research and in the news, we found that there was some actions taken against the number two Al-Qaeda representative, El-Zahari, that very day. And that goes to my whole theory on the subject. Would they do that for a test? No. But would they do it for something real? Maybe.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons that I think it was not that. It could be. But generally speaking, when they launch cruise missiles, they do it from a bit closer than Phoenix, Arizona to Yemen. Am I not right, Mitch?
Right. Usually the cruise missiles that they use are Tomahawk, and they have, a very short range compared to what this would be doing. So, yeah, usually a lot closer.
Okay. Here's another reason. 1 year ago tomorrow, tomorrow's the 1 year anniversary, there was a similar missile launch reported out of Phoenix. Did you know that? May the 10th, 2010, there were people that reported seeing a missile launch out of Phoenix.
I remember that.
Now, the interesting thing to me is here we are, it's a year later. Is something happening on a recurring basis that would cause missiles to be launched? Now, if it's on a recurring basis, is it cyclical? It's 1 year has gone by, and bang, here we go again. And Alex, you said that residents in the area told you that they heard, after this one, they heard other missiles being launched. How many did they hear?
You know, I didn't ask them that. They just said that they saw something similar. I didn't ask them if they heard it or saw it. I just assumed they saw it.
Did they tell you that it happens all the time out there, or is it kind of rare?
No, they thought it was very rare. They hadn't seen it before.
Mm-hmm. So, Mitch, your impression was that this was some kind of a supersized cruise missile. Is that right?
Yes, it had swept wings on it, and that's what kind of gave it away. But the size was way bigger than a Tomahawk.
Yeah, I've seen a Tomahawk, and they're not gigantic at all.
They usually fly below the radar, don't they?
We couldn't hear you. You broke up too badly.
I said normal Tomahawks usually, not always, fly below radar. Ground skimming.
Well, the ones I'm familiar with, and I'm not really familiar with them, would be the ones that do skim across the ground at kind of a low altitude. But I mean, who knows what we really have now? Mitch, does this missile match the description of any missile with which you are familiar?
No, it really doesn't. Of course, my experience is from 17 years ago. I retired 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things can happen during that time period.
How big would you say this was?
I would say it was like looking at the bottom of a Boeing 727.
That's big. That's certainly bigger than any missile that we're familiar with. I don't know of any missiles we have that are that size. But what goes up must come down, maybe.
Well, maybe. With the wings, that indicates that it is going to come back down. Usually you don't fire something with wings unless you're going to use the atmosphere to bring it down. So,
So do you think that this thing would be coming down in a controlled landing, or is it going to hit a target?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because I didn't see any other control surfaces other than the large wings, the large swept wings.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see any tail ailerons or anything like that. So it'd be really hard to say if it's going to fly back in or if it just going to be a soft landing somewhere.
What do you think? I mean, if this were a test, Mitch, if it was some kind of a test, do you think that people in the area where the test is going to happen would have been told in advance there's going to be a test, don't panic?
Generally speaking, no. They don't usually, if it's a controlled situation and it's away from the civilian population, no, they won't announce it. Like, they very rarely announce any of the Vandenberg launches to the general public. The Air Force base might know, but that's, not the civilian population.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any similar situations that took place while you were working in Cheyenne Mountain?
Well, we normally, we always track all of the contractors' launches. Anything that was going to be what we call the domestic launch, which means it's one of ours, we always tracked it up through the countdown and it's firing. We always verified its azimuth, its direction, or whether it was going correctly. We'd work with contractors. But, something like this, an unannounced launch without Space Command knowing about it, that really just doesn't happen.
Do you think Space Command knew about this?
Well, I'm sure they did. I know the equipment they use, and I can't get into the specifics of how it works, but they have several different types of technologies that to detect launches and so forth. For instance, during the Gulf War, I was in the Gulf War, we would detect the Scud launches and be able to tell the Patriot missiles where to point their missiles to intercept the Scuds as they were coming over the horizon. And we were doing that from half a world away in Cheyenne Mountain.
Okay, so this is most likely something that Space Command knew about. Certainly something that the residents of the area did not know about. You would think that with people asking questions of the news people, that this would be something the news people would be all over. Alex, what do you think is the reason that the news media has ho-hummed this?
I guess, just because the military confirmed it, so it's not a big deal. But to me it is. I can't, we were coming back from being with a news channel, a news crew. So we contacted them first, of course, and they didn't even respond to me. I don't know if they got back to Mitch. KPHO did.
Okay, so the National Guard has confirmed that there was a launch. Did they say anything at all about why?
No.
They said that they would not. They didn't want to infringe upon the Department of Defense security needs.
Well, You know, I think it sounds extremely, excessively suspicious that we have this launch. They confirm that it was a launch, and then they say, but we can't tell you anything else. I mean, that's very odd, because normally, you know, I mean, you would think they would say, well, no, there was no launch. It was just the Air National Guard from Maryland dropping flares. You know, I mean, that's the kind of nonsense they normally do. But here they confirm it's a launch, but we can't talk about it. Now, that's odd, don't you think?
I think we caught them with our video. They couldn't get out of it. So, you know, they had to confirm the launch because, you know, it was on video and on YouTube. So...
Okay, but we had that same... Look, we had that same sort of thing when the missile was launched from the coast of California. But the news media was all over that. And NORAD Space Command was saying, we don't know, we didn't see it. And I said at the time, nonsense. That's just nonsense. They saw it. If they didn't see it, we need to stop funding NORAD. Or at the very least, if they didn't see it, some heads need to roll. Yeah, they saw it. Of course they did. But their statement was, we don't know. We didn't see it. And I was all over that. But the news media, the lamestream media, was all over the fact that there was some kind of a launch. But they never confirmed that there was a launch. And this is why I'm saying this one is weird, because it's the flip side of that. Here... In that case, you had video from a TV news crew that was in a helicopter. In this case, we have a former Space Command NORAD guy with a video camera who is an eyewitness, knows for sure that's a missile launch. But we have video in both cases. In one case, the media is all over it. In this case, the media is not interested. In that case, we have NORAD saying, we don't know. In this case, we have the National Guard saying, yep, it was a launch. That's all we can tell you.
And nobody cares.
Well, what's the deal with all of this? I mean, it's like A side and B side of a record, and one side is playing backward of the other side. What? How do you explain that? What do you think is going on here?
Well, I think just cooled the situation by admitting to it. They did say it came off of their range down in Florence.
Mm-hmm.
We know for sure that that's not where it came from. So they're not exactly telling the truth.
All right, where did it come from? If it didn't come off of their range, where did it come from?
Came off of the very east end of Peckles Road.
Correct, and we got a mobile launch site right there on West Peckles Road, and further down off of, technically off of Germain near Octello. We found an airport that looks abandoned, but it has some improved areas, and we found all this in Google Earth, and we sort of pinpointed the launch to the West Pecos mobile launch site. And you can view the elevation changes. Looks like an amphitheater. Mobile launcher will pull in, and the elevation changes to probably cut down on the dust debris that we saw anyways, and the sound.
Did you see anyone around this site?
No, we were too far away, and we were viewing that on Google Earth, and that's that was what, a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Now you said earlier, both of you have mentioned, I think both of you have mentioned, but at least one of you has mentioned tonight that you think there's a possibility there may be an underground base there. What makes you think so?
there's an awful lot of earth moving going on out there, and there's one particular area that has looks like railroad car canisters lined up. There's dozens of them, and it's right next to the railroad tracks.
What would the canisters be?
Shipping containers.
So you've got canisters lined up next to the railroad tracks, but it's in an area where there's no buildings out there. There doesn't appear to be any industry or any reason to have these canisters.
Well, it looks like a great big huge mine, but there's nothing out there to mine. It's just dirt.
And here's the thing, Kevin. I did go out there. I went to the West Pecos entrance. I went to the Germain Road entrance, basically the end of civilization on these roads. I went to the edge of the state land in all both roads and on Ocotillo Road. I went around the perimeter to the east of the, to the west of the state land, and then north. Along what would US 60 as much as I could. And yes, there was tons of activity. I really feel that there was a definite bolo out. It seemed like they knew my vehicle to look for. Drove by unmarked vehicles and marked sheriff's vehicles. As I drove by, I never got eyeballed so much. A couple of the occupants of vehicles actually looked like they were going to jump through the windshield at me. I never, ever got pulled over or detained. So I figure there was a bolo out on me, you know, be on the lookout for, but I believe it was a locate but do not detain. A couple of the individuals actually grabbed their microphones as I drove by.
All right, we have to step away for break, guys. And when we come back from break, I want to hear more about this high tense moment as you were investigating the area from where you think this missile was launched. We'll be back right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show, my guests this evening, Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. And as we went to break, Alex, you were telling us about going out to investigate the area. And there was a ton of activity in the area. There were marked cars, unmarked cars, people glaring at you as you drove by. What's going on out there? What kind of activity did you see going on?
I felt like it was the normal surveillance you would find around such an area. I guess because of possibly, you know, the news report and who Mitch and I are, they probably expected, you know, these guys will be around. And obviously we were. Mitch was there before me, I believe. I don't know if he extensively looked like I did. He just happened to have to go to that town, so he might not have went anywhere near the property.
Okay, what kind of activity? What sort of activity is going on there?
Surveillance.
Only surveillance.
Strategically placed locations around the perimeter of the area.
I still wonder, and Mitch, perhaps you could hazard a guess for us. We had a rocket launch from the Phoenix area May the 10th, 2010. So here we are almost to the 10th, and we have at least one rocket missile launch from the Phoenix area. Residents in the area say there were more after that. You know, they're about a year apart. Let me ask you to hazard a guess. What do you think that could indicate, if anything?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. It would have, maybe it has something to do with the way the Earth lines up with other planets. It might have something to do with our magnetic poles shifting at certain times of the year. It's kind of hard to say. You know, you can get into all kinds of speculation.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, do you think there's any correlation between those two launch dates? Or do you think the launches were for possibly completely separate reasons?
Well, you know, I have a sister that lives out there. And she has been telling me all kinds of things about strange things happening in the night skies. And she says that there's more launches out there that we don't even know about. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't think there's any correlation between the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think there may be something going on, development of some type of... well, anything from a new replacement of the space shuttle to possibly a space plane, a commercial space plane, possibly even something else, you know, some kind of spacecraft using their Earth magnetic fields or something like that.
I think it's very, very curious that this is this launch took place not far from Queen Creek, and it's not far outside of Queen Creek that we have a commercial airline pilot who is witness in 1997 to what some people refer to as the Phoenix Lights, but what he sees is three massive craft that sort of position themselves pancaked one on top of the other. There's a flash of light, and then they're gone. In that same area, not far from where he was standing, not far from where he witnessed this in 1997, in that same area, you see a rocket launch, a missile launch, not a rocket, a missile launch. And this missile, as it's streaking skyward, is sort of checked on by a UFO. There are reports. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to have to tell you that I don't know if these reports are credible. But there are reports, and I'm sure since you live in the area, you have heard them, of an underground alien base between that runs between just outside of Queen Creek over toward Glendale. A big base underground. Now, I don't know if that's true, and I would say the likelihood of it being true is slim. But it's slim. It's not 100% certain that there's not a base there. But it would seem that there's the possibility of some extraterrestrial activity in that area. And it would seem there is some kind of extraterrestrial activity in the area because you had the 1997 sighting of three of those massive Phoenix Lights-style ships by a commercial airline pilot, and he said that you could land his airline's entire fleet of 747s on that craft. He said it was gigantic. There were three of them. So there's something going on out there. Do you think there's any likelihood that this launch had anything to do with the extraterrestrial presence reported to be in that area?
I wouldn't be able to... I wouldn't be able to rule it out, you know, it's because we don't know.
Have you heard those rumors?
Yeah, I have. I've heard them. And, you know, like I said, I have a sister that lives out in that area, and she's telling me all kinds of strange craft that are showing up and buzzing her house and stuff like that. You know, about all I can do is just say yes. Well, I understand, but what can we do? You know.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, have you heard the rumors of extraterrestrial base out there between Queen Creek and Glendale?
No, I had not heard that one. I hear all kinds of strange stuff, but I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, that may be true, it may not be true. It's not something that's very well known, but it is something that a few people out there talk about. I have been, when I used to live out there, I used to live in Glendale, and I had a couple of folks told me about that. And I have to say, I never saw anything that indicated to me that that was the case. But it is something people talk about out there. And, you know, you have to wonder, well, where did that come from? Is there any possibility, gentlemen, look, Arizona is pretty much wide open. There's only, really, there's only three sizable cities in Arizona. You have Phoenix, you have Tucson, you have Flagstaff. Everything else is very small. And there's a lot of space between each of these places. There are mountains, there are valleys, there are places that most people will never, ever see. Is there any possibility of some sort of secret base, kind of like Area 51 used to be a secret? Is there any possibility of that?
Well, there's a person called Kay Kislar, and she has written a book about Beneath the Superstitions, and she talks about a base being under the Superstition Mountains.
So what do you think about that? Is it credible?
I've been all over those mountains, and I haven't seen anything like that, but I have been there before where the black helicopters have come over and hovered above me, so it's possible.
Okay, now you go to, both of you guys, you go out to the Superstition Mountains because you're doing research into Bigfoot and other cryptids, right?
Correct.
All right, so you're saying that as you wander around on the Superstition Mountains, you've had black helicopters show up. Is that right?
Between the Superstition Mountains and Four Peaks, I have been probably buzzed two or three times by black helicopters.
And when you say a black helicopter, you're talking about with no markings on it. Is that right?
That's true.
You've been in the military. Who do you think those people are?
They would be part of the black ops world.
Are they known? Is this mysterious, or are they pretty well known about in Space Command under Cheyenne Mountain? Are these guys known about, or is it kind of a mystery?
Well, there's
section that's not part of the military and it's not part of the controlled by the military or anything. And we've referred to it as the black world. And now I might get myself into trouble here, but this black world is under its own special ops, and that's where your men in black come from.
Okay, so this is something that is known to people inside the military. I mean, you know about this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when people say that they got buzzed by black helicopters or they got visited by men in black, and then the debunkers say that's nonsense, which side of the fence do you come down on? Are they real or is it nonsense?
I know they exist. I've never had a one-on-one run-in with them. But, you know, they do exist.
Alex, have you had any encounters with people in this black ops world?
Well, I've never had the jet black helicopters, but I have had flybys on numerous locations by helicopter in our research. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the areas we go. A lot of that has to do with, you know, we're out there in this area that nobody would go unless they're doing something. We're doing Bigfoot research. Everybody else out there is probably, you know, doing some kind of, some kind of smuggling, try to, you know, keep it family. But, yeah, so we're in those kind of locations. And then, of course, you know, we're in mountain locations, so I got some neat video the other day of a helicopter from the U.S. Forest Service where they asked me to leave the location because they needed to get some water.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, and my guests this evening are Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. The two gentlemen responsible for the video that you've seen it on YouTube. You've seen it probably a couple of different versions of it on YouTube. And what you're looking at is, when you see it, is a missile launch. It is not a hobby rocket. It is not. It's not an optical illusion. It's not something that somebody made up. It has been confirmed by the National Guard out there that this was in fact a missile launch. That's all they would say about it, but they have confirmed that it was a launch. So, Alex, I was asking before we went away if you've had any run-in with these black ops guys, and I think you were telling us that you have had some people tell you leave an area, but they were Forest Service, so you haven't had a face-to-face run-in with these guys. But Mitch, you told us that there's no doubt they exist. You know they exist. Is that well known in the military?
Not throughout the military, no. It would only be those people that work with the kind of spacecraft and kind of craft that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, the normal private in the military wouldn't know.
All right. So, if only people who do the sort of things that you did, working at NORAD, working in Cheyenne Mountain with Space Command, if only those kind of folks know about these black ops people, it would tend to make one think that these black ops people that drive the black helicopters and the men in black guys, it would tend to make one think that they have something to do with space. That their function has to do with space, since only people in the type of positions that you were in would know about them. They're not military. Are they government? And do they have more authority than the military?
Yes, I would say they probably do. I mean, if they they bank people, you know, they intimidate people and so forth. They've been known to do that. So I would say they probably do outrank the military.
Okay, is it a government, is some secret government agency? Is that what it is?
Well, my own personal opinion, I think it's the remnants of the MJ-12 group.
Okay.
And if you're a UFO, if UFOologist, you'd know about MJ-12.
You said the remnants of MJ-12. Is MJ-12 out of business now?
Officially, they are. They're out of business. It terminated about the same time Project Blue Book did.
Obviously, something had to take its place. What took its place?
Well, that's what we call the black world. We call it the black world because there's no information coming out of there. It's like a big black hole.
Black helicopters are seen from time to time around the Phoenix area. And I have seen them. Jeff Woolline, who videotapes strange things in the sky all the time around the Phoenix area, has had the experience of being buzzed by them and caught them on videotape as well. So it is real. They do exist. But one would wonder exactly what is their interest in space. Space Command is interested in missiles and satellites and those kinds of things. What would this black world have an interest in space? What would be their interest? Any idea?
Well, I think they're a cleanup agency. They kind of like the movie Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
They clean up whenever there's an incident. They get rid of the evidence. They basically make it go away.
So does that mean that there is an alien presence on this planet?
I don't know if there are any that are here now, but I believe there have been.
Alex, what do you think about that? Do we have an alien presence on this planet?
Well, I am no expert in that field whatsoever, but I've had a lot of incidents over my life. Some very weird ones, some time loss. I certainly think there probably is. There's definitely unidentified flying objects and unconfirmed targets, as Mitch would use. I've seen plenty of those myself. I don't know if they're from out of this world. I think I told you about one incident where I saw the craft wobble, and that just told me that it was probably man-made, because I could not understand a craft going from one universe to another, or one planet to another, that would actually wobble. So that had the impression to me that it was man-made, and it was, it wasn't perfect.
Well, I don't know. But I do know there are some very strange things in the skies out there over Phoenix, Arizona. And it happens all the time. By all the time, I don't mean it's every day, but I mean it's very, very frequent. There are very strange things in the sky over Phoenix. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for being with us this evening. And, you've got an amazing video here. I think the video probably is, as Mitch said, one of the reasons they had to go ahead and admit this was a launch. And this video confirms not only the launch, but apparently a UFO as well. We've got about 20 seconds here before I have to close this out. Let me get this from each of you very, very quickly. This UFO, is it related to the launch, or is it accidental? Mitch?
I believe it was observing the missile.
Okay, Alex, apparently we're having some audio problems, but say it again, very quickly. Is it related to the launch?
I believe it was observing the missile flight.
What do you think, Mitch?
I would say that, too.
Uh-huh. So you don't think that this UFO was the target?
Well, if it was, they missed.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? They certainly did. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Thank you for taking the time to shoot these videos. Thank you for taking the time to investigate this, and thank you for taking the time to be here on the show and talk with us about it. It's always a pleasure. Alex and Mitch, it's been a pleasure. It's your first time on the show. I hope it won't be your last.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
All right. Stay on the line with me for just a moment as I bring it to a close. That's it, folks. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.